This is WCAI. I'm Steve Junker. If you're trying to peer up past the Earth's atmosphere, all this bad weather of late poses a considerable challenge. How do you study a distant galaxy when there's snow falling on your telescope? To help us look skyward, we're joined now by Dr. Michael West of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Steve.
So am I making too much of this, or are there real challenges to astronomers from the weather?
Oh, no, it's definitely a challenge. I mean, as you know, the weather's not been great here in the Cape and Islands recently, and so it makes it really difficult to do astronomy, of course, when you can't see the stars. No matter how powerful your telescope, it can't see through clouds.
So how do astronomers deal with that?
Well, usually we build telescopes in places where the weather is good. So some of the best sites in the world are like in Hawaii, for example, or in Chile in South America. And they're often on tops of mountains, which peak above the clouds in many cases. And they select sites where the weather conditions are good so that most nights of the year are clear and usable for observations.
Now, I gather that another way you can deal with it is to use telescopes that are not based on the ground. And I understand that you and a colleague just had some observations done by the space telescope Hubble. I want to ask you about that, but first, remind us about what Hubble is and what it does.
Sure. Well, this is the 25th anniversary of Hubble's launch, which is very exciting. It's a space telescope that orbits the Earth. It's not the biggest telescope in the world. Its mirror is 8 feet in diameter. But its great advantage is that it's above the Earth's atmosphere. And, you know, we live at the bottom of an ocean of air that distorts images that we see. Just as when you open your eyes underwater, everything's kind of fuzzy and out of focus. In a similar way, things happen as starlight or light from galaxies or planets passes through the Earth's atmosphere to telescopes waiting on the ground. It gets distorted, it gets a little fuzzy, and we lose detail, we lose information. By launching space telescope above the Earth's atmosphere, you get much crisper views of the universe. That's allowed Hubble to see, you know, things that no other telescope could see, at the furthest objects in the universe, or really, really detailed views of nearby objects. So that's the great advantage of Hubble.
Tell us a little bit about your project with the Hubble telescope.
Well, a colleague, Michael Gregg, at the University of California, Davis, and I are using Hubble to study galaxies that are falling into large groups of galaxies. There are these enormous systems of galaxies in the universe we call clusters. And you can almost think of them as the cities or metropolises of the universe. And so we're studying 7 individual galaxies that are currently, in a sense, moving from a rural environment into the dense city life in one of these massive systems of galaxies. And we're seeing what kind of changes happen to them. You know, just as, you know, you and me, if we move from a nice farmland where we grew up into, you know, the big city, we go through some changes, and we're trying to see what happens to galaxies as well as they change their environment over time. So Hubble took some of the observations for us a week ago. We even got some on Valentine's Day. And then we've got other observations scheduled for April and May. What they do is with Hubble is they spread the observations out over several weeks so they can make best use of the telescope for different projects at different times. But, yeah, we're really excited to have some data already.
Now, you're an astronomer based on Nantucket. How do you get time for your project on the Space Telescope Hubble? There must be a lot of competition for a resource like that.
Right. I mean, like every telescope, you have to submit an application, and there's a committee that reviews them made up of astronomers, and they try and pick the ones that they think are best. So with Hubble, for example, there's a lot of demand for Hubble. So typically 1 out of every 10 applications is awarded time. And, you know, there's lots of good applications. I mean, there's lots of good science you could do with Hubble. There's just unfortunately not enough time to go around for everybody. And it's the same way with all the telescopes on the ground, the ones in Hawaii or Chile or other places around the world. You have to ask for time and then tell them what you want to do with the telescope, the science you hope to accomplish, and it's reviewed. And if it's considered one of the most worthy or meritorious proposals, you're granted time.
And how about images from Hubble? There are some amazing images.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, everything you see in the news, on TV, in newspapers, all those beautiful Hubble images, they've really revolutionized, right, I think, our perception of the universe. And so Hubble's got some great websites. There's one just called HubbleSite.org. And you can download, you know, as many Hubble images as you want to your heart's content, and they're beautiful. You can get them as screensavers for your computer. You can even get big enough ones that you could print for a poster in your room if you want. There's another one called the Hubble Heritage Project. And Hubble Heritage takes some of the nicest images from the Hubble Space Telescope and reprocesses them to make them almost like works of art. And so that's another great site to get some of these images as well.
Dr. Michael West of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket, good luck with your project. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks very much, Steve. My pleasure.